Hey again, Anchor. So it's been a little bit. We just had Thanksgiving yesterday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody tuning in. And today I wanted to talk just a little bit. I was reminded of a well-known man who switched from Switzerland to America right before World War II. His name is Adolf Meyer. And he went to Johns Hopkins when he moved to America. And right before World War II, he believed a lot in occupational psychology therapies. And basically, occupational psychology therapies have to do with the human being can't be healthy if they're not working to a certain extent after a certain phase of development, whether that is in relationship with the other or with activities that somebody that is working class or academic class or intelligence class are getting to participate in. If they don't get to do these after a certain developmental phase, they can become sick of the mind. So he developed, He recommended that people start becoming more active to negate this before the war, do all kinds of activities that a program, mental health professionals, designs for the individual. So sometimes there are people, like a housewife, let's say, is not that active, that's not doing very much. Sometimes some of them can become hysterical. Sometimes some of them need some guidance and they're sad that they don't have much to do and their husband's, away. So, and there are tons of things. I mean, I used to work for the Horticultural Society of New York. There are tons of great therapeutics just even in gardening, and this is very popular in art and in America at the time with horticulture that women started, and in Europe too, if they were well off and they weren't stolen by the war. They were turning to horticulture for therapeutic means and for relaxation and for activities to do with nature and the earth. So that's one that's very accessible even today, to sort of, integrate into your lifestyle if you don't have that much going on. But it's interesting that this man comes over from Europe, from a country where lots of Jews are being stolen from their homes and their jobs. This is working class Jewish populations being stolen from their houses and their jobs to come to America, to Johns Hopkins, one of the top research academic institutions in America, and suggest occupational therapies. So this again is a parallel. Hollywood acknowledges they have artificial intelligence today, so they have it today, and they're still using similar technologies, just different variations of color and lens. Why didn't they have it in the 1930s? Right? So we had satellites, we had television transmission and screen transmission. So that implies there would have been artificial intelligence then if they have technology. If you have technology, whether or not it's visible to you or not, they have artificial intelligence. So this is an interesting synchronicity with Adolf Meyer, right before Adolf Hitler takes over Europe and displaces people from their jobs, comes to America to suggest if you're depressed, you need to do working therapies, right? So, and he's one of the most famous men in America. It's Meyer. And he's somebody who helped found the DSM, which is, a lot of his research went towards that, which is a statistical manual for mental health. They keep modifying it every 10 years or so and adjusting it for newer and newer, histories and reality constructs so that they're not still in the 1930s. But he helped, towards the research that went towards the DSM. As a very famous man, and this synchronicity, I think, is profound. Last decade, I did a documentary. I got asked to do one for PBS, Public Broadcasting System, Channel 13 in America, called Government Girls of World War II. You can purchase it on Amazon if you like. I just am in a simulation where they hired women while men were fighting abroad to do intelligence work. To do work like code breaking in language, in the newspapers, in all kinds of transmissions and data. So this was already in the 1930s. They're telling them to think in this and teaching them how to spy. So that's almost 100 years ago. We're approaching 2020, right? So that's giving them to something during the war versus them being housewives. Their husbands are abroad, so it gives them to something, right? So they don't have to go and feel like they need to be doing this occupational therapy because they're giving to a higher level of intelligence and interpretation of reality, and they're not just sitting at home and lamenting the loss of their husband or the long departure of their husband, right? They're given to something to do. Versus people that might not be given to something to do might become depressive and might get sick. The extreme, obviously, if your house and bank and your job are stolen in Europe during World War II under Adolf Hitler, then you're really depressed. You're either in a slave camp or having eugenics experiments being done on you, or you're just sitting in a concentration camp and told to concentrate while you barely eat food and have no stimulation and nothing to do. So these are the extreme opposites, and there's something wrong. There's something not in the truth. Right? There's some disconnect. Because what are we communicating? Why is this happening? Why is it trying to make people sick if they're not allowed to work? Why aren't they acknowledging there's artificial intelligence when there obviously is? And it's nothing new. And this is part of what mental illness is even today and back then. It's a problem because it's only talking in a certain way to certain audiences without saying something. And there's something else and something other. Right? So the former episode, the last episode that we just did, we discussed a little bit with madness and civilization, right? And the different trends throughout time and what is considered to be mad and what separates the individual. But there's a lot of inconsistencies, and a lot of it has to do with money and housing, right? You could have somebody who's a massive drug addict and be a really famous analytic or professor, and they're still allowed to be. And you could have somebody else that is just as educated that got arrested and had their life ruined, right? So that's one discrepancy, and there's tons. You could have somebody that runs a red light, like we said the last episode, and something really bad happens, and they have a car accident, let's say. And another person that runs a red light and nothing happens, and they even have an experience where they get somewhere earlier that it gives them to another experience, right? So that's life. And the problem is, I think, people are left behind sometimes if there are different biological matrices and different energy matrices. And they're left behind in the sense that if you study mental health, for example, there are different variations of what is permittable and acceptable. Some people, they might just talk to a psychologist in a hospital or a social worker, and they might not even do any kind of brain or biological scans with them, and they might just screen them for certain types in the DSM. But if they're given to another one that has more advanced technologies, they might see there's some kind of block with the neuro. Right? And these are two different interpretations of reality. And there are tons of people that could be put into either. Depending on what the lies, what the level of understanding of the practitioners are, if there's a separation of the biological, technological, energy matrices, if there really is a multiverse and this really can happen, that's the problem. And it was also the problem in World War II. And that's why it's so blatantly awful. It's saying possibly the problem with mental health are people are still in another reality. And that's why World War II is so in the face awful. Right? So out of Meyer comes to America. right before World War II and says occupational therapies. People feel better if they're working. And so tons of these women in this documentary that I worked on last decade, they get upgraded into a reality interpretation that the majority of America, even today, unless they're in computer forensics or they're in intelligence and they're hired by a high-level military and government, you know, position, which is rare, it's less than 1%, the majority of people, majority of working class is not thinking in that. They're even old-fashioned a little bit. They're even, they get credentials, and they try not to read too deeply, and they're just in that. So let's say they studied to be an English teacher, let's say, of high school students, and they're teaching again whatever you read in high school. They're teaching it again. They're teaching the grapes of wrath, right? And they'll talk about metaphors and similes, right? But are they going into reality coding? And the constructs of the implications of mental health and well-being? And the reality constructs of the novel? No, they're not. They're doing it in the old-fashioned, right? So that's one example. But there are tons of examples. Everything that you can study in college, unless it's something to do with computer design forensics or something for intelligence, you know, what is the separation? And if you get diagnosed by something in an old-fashioned sense in psychology or mental health, they might even call something with reality coding or code breaking to be mentally ill if you're not given to the right practitioner. And a lot of the time, they might not be incorrect. And the more advanced you become with technology and the separation of grids, sometimes it talks even more like that because, you know, we're walking around with these gadgets in our hands all day long. And there are tons of codes that are invisible to us within the gadget. And just us reading with our eyes, we're reading and, you know, picking up on patterns that even might even be getting saved into something else. So is that mental illness? Is it? To think in different patterns and codes that are not in the, old-fashioned, acknowledged by mental health, but only by the intelligence, right? So it's all these mirrors, and it's been a problem for almost 100 years now. And the technology has advanced commercially, but it implies there are more advanced realities than the one that we're in, and that's part of the problem, right? Even in World War II, maybe. And until they start teaching this, and until they start teaching, you know, what it is with I think they should even teach with intelligence and the reality coding and code breaking if you take a mental health diploma or you go study in the hospital and do field work, or if you actually do work there or in a clinic or have your private practice. I think it should be something that they should even take a class in. Like, it should be even part of the program. Because it's a problem with technology if it's not acknowledged. And sometimes people aren't crazy, they're just sensitive, right? Sometimes they feel things or see things, and it's just that they're sensitive and they're not the psychotic, you know? And it's not okay to not also be investigating neurological and just automatically dismissive of certain types. So I think that we need to move forward to be blending all of this to make the human race stronger and stronger so that even if they're in a reality construct that might not be the most advanced technologically, that they still can stay alive and not get lost in some kind of hospital system or some kind of neuroses and disease. Because these things can be corrected. And they're nothing new. So Adolf Meyer, yeah, he's a key, I think. To the human histories of Europe and America and recent generations and what happened in certain cases and what formed. So I recommend checking him out a little bit. And I think there just needs to be a higher level of awareness. And we need to start, you know, everybody should be aware of if they get a college degree, no matter what they're studying, they should feel safe in the country they live in. They should feel like they're always allowed to keep growing and not be blocked from a job, not to ever, no matter what. Even if they're in prison, they should be given a job. And if they don't want to work, that's their freedom. But I even think if they don't want to work, lots of people find creative tasks to do. Or home caretaking tasks to do. People need to stay healthy. They need to feel like they have something to do. Otherwise, they rot. They start to get cancer. They start to get neuroses. If they just... If they don't feel like they're able to be a part of something, unless in rare situations where there's some kind of spiritual leader and they're in contemplation. But even then, they're in contemplation and they might do writing exercises or creative exercises and meditation, which is another kind of work, right? So, it's the integration of lots of different fields. From contemplation to intelligences with acknowledgments of code-breaking and spies. Which is not paranoia. That's part of what keeps people in realities from the government and from criminals. And also, in mental health, acknowledging that people need tasks to do to stay healthier. And if you're somebody who studied certain fields and you're good at certain things, to find those things to do and not be blocked. Otherwise, the individual can't grow and they become sick. So I think he's right. And I think it's a traditional sort of argument. And again, I recommend checking him out. Okay, I think that's it for today. Thanks again for tuning in. Again, happy Thanksgiving or post-Thanksgiving. And you all have yourselves a great evening.